Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good evening to this edition of News in Focus. Tonight we're going to be talking about the abortion issue, and we're going to be talking about the March for Life, the annual March for Life that will take place in Washington, D.C. We're going to have reports from Washington of Mark Harrington of Created Equal. He is the director of that pro-life organization. Also, Paula Westwood of Cincinnati Right to Life is in Washington. We're going to try to get her on the phone as well. But we want to start off with this breaking news from Washington this week, as President Trump took the first day of office on Monday and got to busy right away with executive orders. And the first executive order that along the lines of pro-life concern that he signed was Mexico City policy. The executive order stops U.S. taxpayer funding of abortion groups overseas. President Trump reinstates the pro-life policy to protect taxpayer dollars. Now, Ronald Reagan signed this into law, and then it was George H. Bush, George W. Bush, the Clintons, they did an executive order to start pushing money overseas, Planned Parenthood money, to promote abortion in third world countries. And then George W. Bush again signed it back into law, stopping those tax dollars from promoting abortion overseas. And then, of course, Mr. Obama, in the 8 years that he was in, reinstituted the flow of tax dollars through Planned Parenthood, other operatives, to support abortion overseas. And then, of course, with Donald J. Trump stating that he was a pro-life president, one of the first acts that he did was an executive order to reinstate what's called the Mexico City policy. President Trump is continuing Ronald Reagan's legacy by taking immediate action to stop the promotion of abortion through our tax dollars overseas, said Susan B. Anthony, pro-life group. And so we're very excited about this. Of course, it was a good first step. But the new president didn't stop there, as yesterday the U.S. House of Representatives voted to ban all taxpayer funding of abortion. And let's go to an audio clip right now by Representative Black from Tennessee. She'll be on the floor talking to the bill.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise today in strong support of the rule to provide consideration of H.R. 7, the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion Act. This bill is quite literally the least we can do for American taxpayers and our voiceless unborn. Frankly, the fact that we're even here discussing this and that there's opposition to this bill at all really does break my heart. And it speaks to the depths of the entanglement with the big abortion industry that exists in some corners of this chamber. Because at the end of the day, you know what this bill really is about? The right to choose. We hear our friends across the aisle use the phrase a lot. But what about the other right to choose? The right of the taxpayer to choose not to pay a practice that violates everything that they believe. That is what we are here to protect. The American people support this policy, with 6 in 10 surveyed saying that taxpayer dollars should not be used to fund abortions. And these are both pro-life and pro-choice. So today, Madam Speaker, I'm asking my colleagues across the aisle to honor the will of their constituents. I'm asking them to remember the good old Democratic rallying cry of safe, legal, and rare abortion. Obviously, abortion is not rare today, when over 330,000 abortions are performed in 1 year. If my colleagues still believe these words, they'll join us in supporting this modest solution to keep unsuspecting taxpayers off of the hook for this practice. And if they can't vote for this bill, then there is truly not a single limit on abortion that they will accept. And that is a sad commentary on the state of politics. I urge a yes vote on the rule, and I yield back the balance of my time.
The gentlelady yields back.
And that is a report from LifeSite News. H.R. 7, legislation that will ban taxpayer funding of abortion. And in a related report, Trump, newly sworn in President Trump promises to sign the new ban on taxpayer funding of abortion. All of this bodes very well for the pro-life movement. And the next thing in line, of course, will be the Supreme Court announcement of who Mr. Trump will appoint to the court. But it wasn't all great news for the pro-life movement, as there was a major march in Washington right following the inauguration of Donald J. Trump. And that was, of course, the Women's March on Washington. And it was a pro-abortion group that was there. Let's go to that audio clip as to what they were saying as they were marching in the streets.
Abortion is a right! 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 Abortion is a right. Abortion is a right. Abortion is a right. Abortion is a right. Abortion is a right.
You know, as you're listening to that clip, and then of course you hear the group, but then it comes down to almost one woman. Can you imagine? That is one individual who's making that proclamation. And think about all the babies that have been aborted, and it's an individual. It comes down to an individual's decision of that mother to give up that pregnancy, to give up that baby, by really killing it, by going into an abortion clinic. Well, you know, we need to be praying. We need to be interceding, as there is going to be tens of thousands, several hundred thousand. And if it's any indication as what's happened in the past, over a 500,000 pro-lifers will flood into Washington, D.C. for this Friday for the annual March for Life. And here with us on the phone, as promised, is Executive Director of Created Equal, Mark Harrington, and also Executive Director of Cincinnati Right to Life, the very first Right to Life chapter in all of America, Paula Westwood. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, Chris.
Good to be here.
Well, let's get to you first, Mark, because you're already on the ground. I know, Paula, that you're traveling. You're going to be in Washington. But, Mark, let's talk about your activities with your pro-life group. Of course, the very graphic images that your volunteers hold up. And it is a witness of the death that takes place in the womb. And that is, of course, the unfortunate end of the child in the womb by way of the violent act of abortion. And these images do invoke response by those who see them. That's why you do what you do. Tell us what it was like being at the March for Life, meaning Created Equal.
You mean the March for... Washington for the Women.
Yes, the Women's March.
Well, Chris, when the, as you know, when President Trump or Donald Trump was elected president, within days, there was this beginning of a march in Washington, D.C. They called it the Women's March on D.C., but it didn't take long to see that this was really just mainly about abortion, that is so-called right to choose. And so we decided that we couldn't let that go unanswered, and our organization began planning to counteract the march as best we could, even though we knew we'd be outnumbered. And so we began to put together a plan to go to Washington. And our message was this at the march, Chris. Our message was women and children first. The marchers talk about women's rights. They talk about the right to choose and all of this. But our position was this: abortion harms women because abortion kills children. And that connection needs to be made. And the other thing is that several pro-life organizations that identify themselves as feminist pro-life groups were disinvited. They were accepted into the march, then they were disinvited from the march, which just shows that these folks believe that in order to be a feminist or a woman, you have to be pro-abortion, and if you believe in the right to life, you're not included in this march. And so it really showed that this group, even though they were claiming to be inclusive, claiming to be tolerant, they were very intolerant, and they threw out several groups who initially were accepted into the march. They were unwelcome, and we ended up going to the march. We were part of out.
Okay, I think we're trying to get Mark. Paula, tell us your thoughts about the Women's March on Washington before we get to March for Life, of course. Paula?
Well, essentially, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, good. It was pretty much a nightmare. And, of course, I'm so grateful that Mark and Created Equal were there. He is right, women and children first. The message that you're not a feminist unless you're pro-abortion, I think resonated through the country in a negative way for the pro-abortion demonstrators, because, you know, essentially what the difference between men and women is that women can bear children. So the fact that they're wanting to ignore that fact is kind of a paradox, because essentially they're saying we're better off if we're more like men. So it was embarrassing as a woman to see women acting in that way, and in a sense, even though it's so vile and violent, it's pitiful that they're that blind, that they want to argue that it's okay, that it's a right, and that they want to destroy their own children.
Well, there were so many really confusing, conflicting messages coming out of the Women's March. As you mentioned,
that's right,
Mark, that there were those who were disinvited. They were a women's group. They were a feminist pro-life group, and they were disinvited. They were taken off of the sponsorship list and all this when they found out, the main group found out that they were pro-life. Now, of course, it was pushing environmental rights and LGBT, and it was women's equal pay and all kinds of other issues. But when you get down to it, and the audio we let in with, of course, where there were those who were saying abortion is a right, abortion is a right. Meaning the killed your child in the womb is a right, according to these women. You know, after all these decades of education as life in the womb, and that, you know, when life begins, and we're talking with legislation defending life at the beginning of a heartbeat. We believe that life begins at conception, is worthy of protection under the law, including all nascent human life. We believe that is a pro-life organization, but if we can get the public's attention on the heartbeat, and what couple doesn't go into the doctor and hear, you know, with the stethoscope, the beginning of the heartbeat of the child, and even grandparents are then listen and celebrate the birth, you know, the sound of the grandchild in the womb. And so it's captured the public's attention. But here you have these women in the streets, and they're saying actually all kinds of gross things as well. I mean, there were some really offensive things that went on at this March for Women in Washington. Now, there was large numbers, and they're claiming, as there was in multiple cities across the country, they're claiming some pretty big numbers on this. Mark, you know, a few years ago, when you saw the folks coming in for the March for Life, and that we've gone younger, lots of young people that will come in from all over the country, and they'll come in this Friday as well for the annual March for Life, and that is to build upon the culture of life in this country so that a newer and younger generation can embrace the culture of life, and so that we could see the end of abortion in our lifetime. That's what our goal is. But with that, you were saying that Gloria Steinem and some of the old feminists basically commented, look how young they are. But something was a little different with this Women's March on Washington. Tell us what your observations were along those lines. Mark Harrington.
Well, honestly, Chris, we were lucky to get out of there with our lives. And I say that it's not hyperbole. We were enveloped by angry protesters who were shouting us down. Not all women. It was probably about half men, half women, shouting us down. We had people try to attempt to steal our equipment, our signs. Some of our young people were threatened. Several of them were told that it would have been better off if they were aborted.
Oh.
And so on. So, I mean, it really caught me off guard, and I'm a veteran activist, honestly.
You've seen a lot. You've seen a lot over the years.
And you're, I have.
So when you tell me, friend, that
off guard.
Yeah, when you tell me that you were fortunate to get out with your life, that really tells me how dangerous this all was for your group to be down there.
Well, I think everyone was caught off guard, including law enforcement in D.C. The crowds were huge. They were unruly. They were out of control. Thankfully, I don't believe anyone was hurt that I'm aware of. But here's the thing. Two things, two lessons. One is the other side, the abortion advocates and those who are opposed to Donald Trump as president are mobilizing, and they are on the march, and we need to take them seriously. They are not going
That's right.
to sit down and take this very easily. So we have to be prepared for a long fight to defend our president when he does the right thing.
Right.
And the second thing is Mr. Trump is making great strides towards protecting human life, and including within a week, probably the biggest thing he's going to do, at least in the first couple of years, and that is to appoint a Supreme Court justice, the United States Supreme. That's going to be the biggest battle that's on the horizon for our troops, and we need to get ready for that one.
Well, that's right. And Paula, we've seen some very good and encouraging signs in the opening act of the Trump administration. Of course, on day one was the signing of the Mexico City ban on federal dollars being used to promote abortion overseas, followed up with this action by the U.S. House of Representatives, H.R. 7, which will ban all taxpayer funding of abortion. Mr. Trump, in a later report, has already announced that he will sign that legislation when it gets to his desk. This all bodes very well for the pro-life credentials of our new president. Your thoughts?
Everything is very hopeful from a legislative point of view. You know, even under President Obama, a lot of very good pro-life legislation was passed in the House, but never got anywhere. And there's a lot more on the horizon. And it was wonderful to hear his press secretary saying he is a pro-life president. His appointments have been stellar. These are people who are bold for life. But I agree with Mark. The pro-abortion side is riled, and it's not going to be intelligent dialogue because we have to call it for what it is. We're dealing with the face of evil, and so what we do have to support our president. I do think we're going to see more and more legislation that's pro-life because we have pro-life legislators who have been waiting for the opportunity to get this legislation through. But not only the president, these legislators are going to be under a lot of pressure, and it's not going to be rational. That's the hard thing to deal with for all of us, is that when we're doing education and we're presenting the truth and we can understand disagreement, but when people like Mark Harrington and others are being faced with violence and name calling, and that's just putting it mildly, then how we're going to approach this is going to be a lot more difficult.
Well, that's right. And of course, on Friday will be the annual March for Life, which will show a contrast of the gatherings. Many spiritual people that are coming to pray to end abortion. They're praying. Many young people will be there in Washington meeting with their legislators, of course, in an organized march that will go up to Capitol Hill in front of the Supreme Court, in which, of course, the theater of our politics will be played out in the U.S. Senate once Mr. Trump announces his nominee for the replacement of Justice Scalia, who passed away last June. And we'll fill that seat on the Supreme Court. And we urge our folks that are listening to this program, please be in prayer because, you know, this is what is going to be the victory. The victory is not going to be just in our action, but in our spiritual pleading with the Lord. I mean, in fact, how we got to this place of even having a pro-life president, if you had really venture a guess last year sometime if you thought that Mr. Trump was going to be the nominee and that he was going to carry the mantle of being a pro-life president. You know, nobody would have suggested that. And yet that's exactly what's happening. And he's surrounded himself with godly men, I mean, and women. He has literally filled people in his cabinet that are solid Christian individuals, evangelicals, picking his running mate, Mike Pence, a wonderful Christian man, seeking advisement of, you know, Falwell Jr. He's seeking advisement of Franklin Graham and, you know, and Mike Huckabee, and the list goes on and on. These are spiritual advisors to the president. He respects their opinion. He submits himself to prayer and devotion, and there's something that's happened with this man, and we can rejoice in that, but he's going to need our support. He's going to need our prayers. And like you said, Mark, you were on the front lines, and you saw the face of evil. I saw some of it, and I encourage people to go to your Facebook page, Created Equal, to see some of the videos where this woman is just yelling at this young man who's holding up a sign. He's not doing anything but to hold up a pro-life sign, and this woman is just yelling at him, and you could just see really kind of a demonic action towards these young people. They're standing for truth of the unborn, and this is the battle that we're involved with. Mark, your thoughts.
Well, listen, I mean, they're threatened right now, and I want to send two notes of encouragement to your listeners. Number one, 2 years ago, who would have thought that we are on the precipice of defunding Planned Parenthood? We're going to see that likely be on the president's desk, hopefully, God willing, within maybe a month to 2 months. No one would have ever thought that was going to happen within that short period of time, but it's likely going to happen, and that is one of the reasons they rallied on the Mall on Saturday. The second thing is, which was very underreported yesterday, was the historic introduction of the heartbeat bill, a federal heartbeat bill, not you know, similar to the one that was introduced in 2011 here in Ohio, but now Janet Porter and others, along with Steve King and Trent Franks and others there in Washington, are now sponsoring a bill to end abortion at the detectable, when the heartbeat is detected. And we introduced that yesterday on Capitol Hill. So these are events that are moving very quickly. Things are changing in Washington. It's a new day in Washington. So we're very hopeful.
Well, hold on to that thought, because I want to get back to that. And you're talking about legislation that was introduced yesterday and announced on Capitol Hill with Representative Steve King from Iowa. And that's very exciting. Actually, the heartbeat bill going on the federal level. We're going to give a report from the State House as well here in Ohio as to what is going to be reintroduced. But before we do that, let's talk for just a sec about, before we go to a break, that, you know, the March for Life, obviously people are coming with great encouragement. But Mark, right here in Cleveland, Ohio, we were petitioning the RNC to add defunding Planned Parenthood into the Republican plank, and that was successful. We joined forces in that with a number of pro-life groups. You were leading the way on this. I remember you calling me and said, hey, what's the process of making an appeal and a suggestion that they add defunding Planned Parenthood into the Republican Party plank? And we went about doing that, and they did adopt it. That was part of the new plank language, and this president looks like he's going to carry out the mission. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's awesome. I mean, Planned Parenthood is running scared big time, and this would take a huge chunk out of the money that they have. Almost half a billion dollars would be taken away from Planned Parenthood. It could potentially cripple them. However, I wouldn't count our chickens before they hatch. Planned Parenthood has survived this body part scandal and unfortunately would likely survive a defunding of Planned Parenthood. They will then have to turn to their private donors to fill in the deficit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a huge, huge step in the right direction.
Very exciting, isn't it, Paula, just to think about that?
Well, it is. And what we have to remember, it's more than just the money to Planned Parenthood, because by losing federal or state funds, they also lose credibility as a legitimate healthcare agency. And they want that more than anything else. And they also lose political influence. So it's more than the money for them. And that's why they're fighting so hard.
Absolutely. You're listening to News in Focus. With us on the phone from Washington, D.C. is Paula Westwood of Cincinnati Right to Life and Mark Harrington of Created Equal. They're there in Washington for this Friday's March for Life. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Those serving in our military, they're the difference makers. Separated from family, enduring hardships far from home, sacrificing for their country while serving in a different country. Well, for those of us who support our armed forces through the USO, we get to make a difference too. Through the USO, we get to be the force that delivers the phone call between spouse and deployed service member. The force that brings newborn and new parent together through a delivery room video chat. And the force that makes sure our military serving 7,000 miles away gets to watch the big game from a USO center. We get to be the force behind the forces, connecting them to every comfort of family, home, and country possible. It's a good feeling to make a difference. Visit uso.org/force to learn how you can be the force behind the forces.
And we're back. You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. And if you've missed any part of tonight's program, you could always listen to it in its completion at our website at ohioca.org. And you can actually download this on your podcast as well. All right, let's get back to it with Paula Westwood from Cincinnati Right to Life, Mark Harrington of Created Equal. They are both in Washington, as hundreds of thousands will be joining for the annual March for Life. And we are indeed seeing some positive things come out of Washington, D.C., of course, with the signing of the Mexico City policy, ending the export of abortion in third world countries, and of course, yesterday in the U.S. House of Representatives on Capitol Hill, ending taxpayer funding of abortion with H.R. 7, and Mr. Trump said he will sign it when he gets to his desk. So with that, there was legislation that was announced yesterday that will be of particular interest of us here in Ohio because of the heartbeat bill. As the last 5 years, we've been trying to get this through the Ohio legislature. Well, now it's gone on the national level, on the federal level, with Representative Steve King of Iowa and other congressmen have joined him in co-sponsorship of the heartbeat bill. There at the press conference was Mark Harrington to give us an update. Mark?
Well, thank goodness for Janet Porter, who has been championing this cause now for 6 years. Started in Ohio on the west steps of the State House in 2011 with the introduction. And now in several states across the country, these bills have made their way through legislature. They've actually been put into law, now being challenged in several. Unfortunately, in the state of Ohio, our fine Governor John Kasich decided to veto the bill. The bottom line is we're not done in Ohio, and now it has been introduced at the federal level, and we introduced that yesterday on Capitol Hill. And when I spoke, I took the opportunity to steal a few words from our president, who said in the inaugural, he talked about what he considered American carnage. I don't know if you recall him mentioning that. He talked about American carnage, and he defined it as the unrealized human potential of a nation. And if you can think about that for a moment, now almost 55 million preborn babies have been killed by abortion since 1973. I don't think there's any other people group that has been that can would be characteristic of an unrealized human potential other than the preborn. And so this law, if passed and signed into law, would end about 90% of all the abortions done across the entire country. So this is big, big stuff. The time is now to move. We've been waiting long enough. We have a pro-life president, pro-life Congress. The Supreme Court is changing. There's no reason whatsoever to wait. It's time to move now to protect all preborn children.
Well, that's exciting news. We're so glad to hear it. We knew it was just a matter of time that it would be introduced on the federal level. We do have a report from the Ohio State House that Representative Ron Hood and Representative Christina Hagan will reintroduce the heartbeat bill in the Ohio House of Representatives. I met with Speaker Rosenberger, presenting him with a framed copy of the Ten Commandments last week. He referenced the heartbeat bill, that he'd like to see it move again in the Ohio House. Of course, that was not a problem. They had plenty of votes in the House. They did eventually pass it in the Senate with an amendment, but then Governor Vito at the end of last year in December, he used his line item pen authority and unfortunately vetoed the heartbeat bill. So it looks like the State House is in the mood to take another run at it, and of course on the federal level. Paula, your thoughts?
Oh, we're just very enthusiastic, both in the state and the federal. You know, it takes a long time to get a bill through, and the fact that it's been since 2000 shouldn't discourage us in Ohio. Again, Janet Porter is a visionary. She's a bulldog. She doesn't give up, and it's wonderful that it's being introduced on the federal level. At the federal level, what the best thing about this is when we're seeing such as with this Women's March and things like this, when we introduced it in Ohio, it raised the level of conversation, it raised the level of awareness of what abortion truly is. And now this is going to go nationwide. And it's very difficult for anyone to ignore the fact that when there's a heartbeat, there's life. Now, and I'm very encouraged and very hopeful what's happening at the state that they're reintroducing it. When Governor Kasich line item vetoed that was like a slap in the face to the Senate and the House. And because he wasn't listening not only to his constituents, but he wasn't listening to the elected officials. So I'm glad they haven't given up. Again, bills take a long time to get through. What it takes is for the rest of us to stick to it, to stay enthusiastic, and to support those who are working for us.
You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. We're talking about the March for Life in Washington coming up on Friday, and it was the annual March for Life, and we look forward to the day when we won't have to do that anymore. Mark, I know a few years ago when I joined you down there on Pennsylvania Avenue and you had the big Jumbotron up, and it showed the images of abortion on the screen and a lot of these young people that were passing by. Of course, you'll be there again on Friday. And a lot of these kids are coming from all over the country, from various church groups and Catholic outreach. And for the first time, many of them, for the first time, this is quite an experience for them. And they'll hear testimony. They'll hear testimony in front of the Supreme Court, the voices of silence. And they'll hear testimony from men and women of how abortion illfully affected their lives and the regretful decision. That's very moving, and it's very lasting, I think, for these young people. So we are building a culture of life, one young person at a time, in their decision to choose life. And so we do see a trend where abortions overall are down. There's still way too many, as we heard earlier in our program from the floor of the Congress, of how many are taking place each year. But we are convincing the hearts and minds of young people in education. Mark, I know that's what you're about as you travel across the country with Created Equal and basically taking the same model as the Freedom Rides. Tell us what you have planned for this year to carry the message forward.
Well, of course, we'll be at the March for Life. And Chris, I know you know this, but President Trump has, through his spokesperson there in the White House, said that they will be, his administration will be heavily represented at the March for Life. This is good news. It's not just symbolic. I think Kellyanne Conway is an evangelical Christian.
Yes.
She's very strongly pro-life. She is speaking at the March for Life. This is big stuff. I mean, I remember even it, with the administration of George W. Bush, they never sent that high of a level of an administrative official. So everybody's excited about that. I think it'll make news because of what happened last weekend. But more importantly, the young people, we're training them up to take the message beyond the March for Life into their local communities, to sidewalk council, to witness at abortion facilities, and also at high schools and colleges all across America. And the tide is turning on public opinion. Now we just need to see public policy begin to fall into line with that change in culture.
Well, that's right, and we're winning over the hearts and minds of our fellow countrymen in defense of the unborn. And thank God for the work that you do and that Paula does in the Right to Life chapters. We're going to try to get Paula back with us. We've lost her. She's in the mountains of Pennsylvania heading down to Washington, D.C., with tens of thousands that will be joining you to March for Life in Washington. Of course, Father Frank Pavone, always appreciate his ministry and what he's doing, and encouragement to the faithful to really get involved and to not abandon the cause, but to actually stand up in your own local congregation, encouraging others to get involved in education, in prayer, in sharing the truth about life. And then, of course, getting involved legislatively to call your representative, to call your congressman, to write letters, to write emails. All this has a major impact. You don't leave it to someone else to do. You do it. You take pen in hand. You get in front of the keyboard of your computer and just send an email to your representative to encourage him to support the federal heartbeat bill. We'll get a number on that for you, and we'll be tracking that legislation at the Ohio Christian Alliance so that you can support that on the federal level, but also on the state level as well. This all has an impact. Getting involved with groups like Created Equal, how do people do that? Mark, give us how they can contact you, and if they're wanting really to make a difference in their life and to be involved with one of the freedom rides that you engage in as you go from city to city to go in front of Planned Parenthood clinics. Tell us what your schedule is and what you have planned for this year.
Best thing to do is go to createdequal.org. That's createdequal.org, or go to our Facebook page at Created Equal. We have two events coming up. This is breaking news, Chris. That is, on February 11, we are now announcing a national protest of Planned Parenthood in order to coincide with the defunding of Planned Parenthood that's moving forward in the United States Congress. So we're planning protests across the country to draw attention to the fact that Planned Parenthood does not need our federal tax dollars, that we want to redirect that money to the federally accredited health centers, over 13,000 across the country, that don't provide abortions. So we're going to be doing that on February 11th. And then on March 4th through the 12th, we'll be heading to Florida with our Justice Ride. Any young person that's interested in getting in the game needs to get involved with us. We take them on college campuses in the state of Ohio. We charter a bus from Columbus all the way to Florida and back. And it's a great time to like I say, learn how to defend your faith in the public square and meet a bunch of good friends.
Well, that's right. And so many people lament that young people or millennials aren't getting involved. You've been doing just that. You're getting them involved. They want to make sure that their life accounts for something. And defending the unborn is a way in which, what better way to spend your time to do that? And also ministry. You're not just telling people that abortion's wrong and that you're killing a life, but you're also there to minister to people. And I know that you've had opportunity to save children over the years, and also to lead people to Christ. I think we got Paula back on the line here. Paula, can you hear us?
I can. I apologize. We are actually traveling to D.C. and going through the mountains, so I was dropped off. But I have to say, we stopped at a travel plaza, saw four buses. I was looking at the T-shirts. Looked like they were all ready to go to the march. They were filling up the place. So a lot of us are traveling today.
Wonderful. My wife and I and daughter, we're planning on being there again next year. So we'll be praying from home. And
wonderful.
Again, many of you folks, you might not be able to get down for the March for Life, but you can follow it online at March for Life. Just go to their website. Just Google that, March for Life. Go to their main website, and you'll see the live video feed, and you'll be able to hear the wonderful speakers that will be addressing the crowd. Paula, do you know some of the speakers? We just talked about that the Trump administration will have heavy presence there. Kellyanne Conway will be speaking. I've heard of a few others. Who else might be on the schedule?
Well, they almost always have the pro-life legislators, and they do a good job. Jeannie Monahan is now organizing it. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful to hear everybody, but they go. Jeannie Mancini. Now, she recently was married. My husband's in the car listening, so he was giving me a correction here. But they have a lot of speakers, and they go quickly. But it's wonderful to see the representation, and that it's very ecumenical, and they also have music. This is a very high energy event. Again, I agree, Chris. It'll be wonderful when we don't have to do this, but it will be a big contrast to the Women's March. It's very orderly and very prayerful. And I would like to say that those of us who come are representing everyone who is not there.
Mm.
And there are marches going on all over the country now because it's difficult for everyone to get to D.C.
That's right.
So I would like to, you know, yeah, we're up there, but the pro-life movement is huge. You're there. There's so many people at home praying. I know we've got a group, the Greater Cincinnati Young Adults for Life. They're young professionals. They are conducting a mini march in front of Cincinnati Planned Parenthood, the surgical abortion center, for at noon, because that's when people can be there tomorrow, on Friday. So there's so much good that's out there, and we're all united. I like to think of it as like a quilt. And though we're in D.C., there's people all over the country praying, and that's our foundation, because ultimately the battle will be won by God.
Mm, that's right. America is in the valley of decision. We're contesting for life for the innocent in the womb. And I appreciate all the pro-life groups that are doing everything that they can. And you can get involved on the local level at a crisis pregnancy center with Created Equal, with Right to Life chapters. And, of course, contacting your representative and your congressman. That's so important to do that. It will get you information of the legislation that's being introduced at the Ohio State House and on the federal level as well. We'll be tracking the heartbeat bill both in Congress and on the state level as well. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on the other side, and I'd like to talk about the possible names that are being suggested for to replace Justice Scalia. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Let's talk about the Supreme Court and the possible names that are being suggested. And I want to talk about Neil Gorsuch, because this is a name that has been floating around this last week. Mark, your thoughts on Mr. Gorsuch. What are you hearing?
I heard mostly good things about him. He has a good history on the life issue. There's some questions about his some decisions on LGBTQ issues. But here's the overall principle we need to understand. Mr. Trump talks about extreme vetting when he talks about immigration and refugees coming into to America. We can't get this one wrong. We don't have that margin of error. We trusted President Reagan, and he was a great president, but he gave us David Souter. We trusted George W. Bush. He gave us John Roberts. We trusted George Bush the first, and he gave us Anthony Kennedy, all who at the beginning seemed to me would be good justices. So we've got to be willing, if necessary, to confront President Trump if he gets this one wrong. Mm. You just can't rubber stamp him.
Well, I agree with that. And I think one of the Justice Kennedy under Bush 41, that was the great lament of your mentor, Paula, was Dr. Wilkie lamented that to his dying day, lamented advising the president on Justice Kennedy. He thought he'd be pro-life. We all can't be right all the time, and we can't really know what's in a person's heart and what they're going to ultimately do. And Justice Kennedy has been a real problem on the bench, and so I think that's I think if Dr. Wilkie was with us today, Mark, he'd be echoing your sentiments. We need our type of extreme vetting, and that is exactly. I want to believe, but help my unbelief. In other words, I'm not just going to take this at face value. And I know, so obviously we have to rely on. Not defer to, but rely on the advice we're getting from legal experts that we trust, like the Alliance Defending Freedom. I talked to Dr. Prentice yesterday, and Dr. Prentice was talking about that Susan B. Anthony and the Lozier Institute were hearing good things about Neil Gorsuch, but again, they're going to continue their vetting as well, but the initial reports are very positive. But again, you want to be careful about this thing about America sliding into the moral abyss on the sexual orientation, basically homosexualizing of America. As to Justice Kennedy, obviously he's written all three major opinions on that decision when it came to striking down the sodomy laws of Texas, when it came to striking down the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. It was he who wrote the major opinion, and then the Obergefell decision. So when you realize, going back to Justice Kennedy's early law clerk days, it was in the Bay Area of San Francisco, and only to find out that his mentor and a man he looked up to was a homosexual. And of course, in the Bay Area 40 years ago, that's where the radical homosexual movement was launched. And so that obviously was influencing him as a young law student. And then it came all the way to fruition on the Supreme Court, lamentably. And then, of course, when you look at the pro-life issue, and I really put those two together, because if you get the sexuality of it wrong, then you're not going to value the family as God designed it. I saw a banner, Mark, and we talk about the March for Women. I can't tell if it was two women or two transgender men were holding up a banner. It said, if only Mary had aborted, then we wouldn't be in this mess. Talk about blasphemy. Talk about the evilness of man. That was referring to Jesus. Folks, this is the kind of spiritual warfare we're up against. And that's why we just can't get this one wrong. Mark, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Your thoughts, both of you. Mark?
Like I say, we'll find out in a week. And then I just hope there's not a rush to judgment either way. We want to support our president when he's right, but when he's wrong, we need to oppose him. I mean, too much is at stake here, Chris. We get this one wrong, we could be, 40 years in the wilderness again. That we just do not have, and tens of millions of babies' lives hang in the balance
right.
of this Supreme Court decision. So we can't get it wrong, and I know there's no way of knowing exactly how they're going to rule in the future, but we can have a pretty good idea based on the past whether they're going to be ones that stick to the Constitution or not.
Paula, what are you thinking in this line? What are you closely going to be watching when the nominees mentioned?
Well, these are coming up quickly. And what I'm noticing with President Trump is that some of these that were coming forward are people we've never heard of before. At least I've never heard of before. So you read their background. It depends on what news service you're reading, whether you get real positive or real negative. One thing that was positive, if it needed, is true that this candidate is of a strong proponent of religious liberty. And we do need that very much.
Yep.
Because if that's undermined, it's going to affect life and everything else. But I agree with Mark and you. Does not uphold the sanctity of marriage, it's not going to be helpful for life either, because homosexuality is sterile. They usually support abortion. They're usually pro-abortion rights. They're anti-family. They're pro many kinds of artificial reproductive technologies that are very unethical. So we can't have a Supreme Court nominee that's supporting one thing that's immoral, and then the rest is okay because it'll undermine everything else.
That's
but
right.
I will say we can only go on what we know, but the other unknown is when people get into a position of power, we don't know what they're going to do.
And that's why we're going to be fiercely praying. Thanks to both of you for joining us. We've run out of time. God bless you if you're representing us down there in Washington for the March for Life. And again, folks, you can learn more about this issue at our website at ohioca.org. God bless. Good night.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.